You're listening to Voice Memos, the show about two longtime friends who have informative, yet brief discussions about multitudinous topics. If you want to go deep into a topic, this is not the podcast for you. We keep it shallow. Now, please welcome your hosts, Jen and Myron.
I can't believe. I wish just for the visual of the audience, you know, when you're on a podcast or radio, you have to definitely draw the picture for the audience so they understand. So Myron and I jump on to our call. And first of all, he asked me if I was ready at 4:01 today. You know, I have a corporate job, so I can't just come and go as I please. But anywho, I then say, I can go now at 4:39. I get the key response, you know, not okay, thumbs up.
It was like capital K though.
Which in the grand scheme of life means, fuck you, lady. I will be there when I want to. So then I get on and I get to see his beautiful room with his pictures. And he comes back into the frame of our recording, starts talking, and although I told him he was on mute, then puts out then leaves, and then Ileanne comes to the rescue and starts the recording. So
so funny. Yeah.
A whirlwind shit show.
We are the most professional podcast team
ever.
We got all the vibe, you know, all the rules. It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter because nobody and no corporation or advertisers are paying us for this podcast.
Exactly. Ain't that the truth?
We can say anything and disparage anybody. Like, I'm okay with saying I prefer Pepsi over Coke. Like, it doesn't even matter.
No one's going to be on our ass. No publicist saying that we have to make an apology. Nothing.
Like, if I say J.K. Rowling is a transphobic piece of trash, like, nobody is like, okay, write to us and tell us you're mad.
That's so true. We have no PR people telling us what we can and cannot say.
It's funny because you can say something like I could say that people who voted for Donald Trump were sort of stupid in 2016 when he beat Hillary Clinton. And in 2020, if that same person voted for Trump, they were stupid. And then in 2024, if that same person votes for Trump, they're an absolute traitorous moron piece of shit. So, and you know what? I have no boss, you can tell. It doesn't matter.
Nope. You can come to me on my Twitter page or my Instagram. You can tell me I'm wrong, but that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah. You know how, like, online, sometimes people in their bios, they will say, my views are my own. They don't represent my company or anything like that, or, you know, my organization or my charity. And I'm like, I don't care. My views, you know what? I don't care. You don't have to like them because you don't pay me.
You don't pay me at all. Like, no one even, we should put our Cash App up and our Venmo just to see if someone would pay us.
You know what? That's a great idea because I have a tip link on my various social media accounts. And I would say that probably maybe once a month, sometimes twice, I unexpectedly get a tip.
See? I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, between $10 and $50. Someone will just say, thank you for an article, or, you know, I read your book and enjoyed it, or one of your books and I enjoyed it, or, you know, just, I don't know, just random stuff like that. And I try to go back and say thank you to people, but sometimes they come in anonymously. You're just like, okay. And just like, okay, well, you know, I'll go get a cup of coffee or something. But yeah, I'll take it. It's pretty nice. So maybe we'll put a tip on our podcast. Hey, you want to tip us? And then would be more likely to read your feedback. We still won't care what you say, but we'll be more likely to read
But we will give you a
it.
shout out. And
We'll bring a shout out.
our that money will just go to our Zoom renewal fee.
Yes, man, what the hell? How does that come up so quickly? And why does Zoom be raising their prices?
God, they don't need any. They're not like, it's not like they need product.
Right? And they're not importing materials and things from overseas.
And it's my internet.
What exactly are you doing for a Zoom? Like, I didn't ask for those extra features. I don't need those features.
I don't need them. So if we do a little Cash App on there, hey, we'll take it and we'll put it so that we can keep entertaining you.
So, what's going on with you this week?
I am getting ready for my nephew. Now I know you're going to get this age mixed up again, but my
Let's do
nephew
it.
Parker turns 16 this week.
Oh my God.
16. Like I was thinking about how he is going to be learning how to drive. He's almost got like only got like 2 years of school left. And they
Wow.
used to say when I used to hang out being a child myself at one point, where I'd hang out with my aunts and they
Yeah.
would say, "Oh my God, you're getting older. That means I'm getting older. I don't like that." That's exactly how I feel. They're like, I
Right.
can't. Him being 16 is just reiterating that the clock has not slowed down for me, which really sucks.
It's remarkable because you're right, because I just randomly will say, oh, I don't know, her nephew's like 10, 12 or something like that. Maybe he got older, he's 12. That guy is 16.
16.
So has he like had any dates or anything like that?
He has a girlfriend and he's
He has a
so
girlfriend.
sweet. Like, so my sister allows them to hang out at each other's houses, of course, with parent supervision. But the other day he said he just wanted to buy her flowers,
That's
and he
nice.
bought his mom the mom flowers. And I was like to my sister, where are your flowers? Like, why, what about you? I have to find the stupid gray cloud hanging over it. But she's like, I've told them I'm not a big flower fan, blah blah blah. But I was thinking just about one nephew's going to be 16, the other one just turned 13 in October, and how in the past, and you have a child, so you probably can relate to this, that you go from having to bring the whole house with you when you go somewhere, from
Yes.
playpens to strollers to toys to bottles to pacifiers to everything under the sun, to you don't even have to bring them with
Isn't that amazing?
it's crazy. Like
Right, you
my
gotta
sister
pack
can
up
come and
so
go.
much.
Yes, you can come and go as you please. Like if I she has to go to the store, she doesn't have to put kids in a car seat, and you just each of them are sort of their own independent person, and it's crazy to
That
watch
is
them.
such a great feeling as a parent. Like all the stages are wonderful, right? They're all wonderful from birth and all through those years and everything. But there's something really special about you can leave the house, right? And just run an errand, run a few errands, and your kid or kids are just back home, just doing what they do, right? Just hanging out, and you're not really worried. Like they can reach you if they want, if they need to, or you can reach them. They know how to get up and go take a pisser or go get a drink of water. Like you are covered. It is like it's like a whole. It's like you get so much part of your life back from that whole 24/7 having to raise a child and like be with the child. A child has to be with you because they need you. But man, when they get that little bit of independence or you get it and they can stay home, man, your life changes because when you're not dragging a kid through Target or Safeway, or whatever errands you got to do, like this DMV or even get an oil change, whatever it is, you're not worried about diapers, about snacks, about cranky moves, none of that stuff. It's all gone. You can just go run. You can be gone for your 2 hour errand run, take your sweet time, listen to your own music.
Yep. God,
Nice, man.
it's insane, and I'm not even the parent. And all the stuff leading up to that is why I never became a parent. Like, I did not want to be responsible for a human being. I was watching Expat. Expats on Amazon Prime. That's the Nicole Kidman.
Oh yes. I started it and I veered off. I need to get back to it because that first episode was really interesting.
It's really good. I enjoy, Nicole Kidman is always in those limited series, but it was just about a child that gets taken. And it made me think, it made me think of a couple reasons why I didn't want to have children or why I never decided to. But I thought to myself, I don't know how a mother goes on, even though she had two other children. It was based on a book that she had two other children. That how do you go on with life knowing that you don't know where your son's at, you don't know what's happening to him? Like that would just overwhelm my nervous system, my brain. I don't know if I could get past the fact that are they in pain?
Sir, I was thinking that today to veer off from that to that that young person in, I want to say it's Idaho. I'm gonna look it up. I think they go non-binary and they were killed. Well, it was reported they were killed, but now the coroner is saying that the person, their name is Next Benedict, NEX, Next Benedict. And the coroner is now saying that their death was by suicide.
Oh, wow.
And they're in, I want to say they're in, I'm trying to where they are, what state. Anyway, the original story came out that they have been getting bullied. I think they were in Missouri. They're getting bullied in school and jumped by a bunch of girls in the bathroom. And Nix, or Next, NEX is how they spell their name. It was a native non-binary. But they went by their pronoun. They were transgender, but their pronouns were he and they,
Okay.
right? And so a day or so after the bullying, they died. Or after the fight, they died. And so the original report was, or speculation was, did they die as a result of getting beaten up in the bathroom? And so now the coroner, like a week or two later, saying, no, they died by suicide, was self-inflicted. Now, the rest of the report had to come out, and the staff and the family said they want to do their own autopsy. And the end result being this person is dead, right? A
Wow.
high schooler.
Yep.
They're dead. And it's in the state where they have really attacked the LGBTQI community, specifically transgender students. And it's the school district where the superintendent is a really vile, nasty man. And he makes these videos that are just anti-gay. They're just hate speech. And he's the school superintendent. And he hired as a, I forget the title, consultant or something, this person from online who goes by Lives of TikTok. And it's this lady, her first name is Chaya, I can't think of her last name. And she is just, she's an online anti-trans hate person. So all she does is promote hate against transgender people.
Wow.
And she has such a large following, like a huge following. And so she will blast out, oh, this school is doing a, you know, an event to raise awareness, or this school, stuff like that, or school districts or hospitals that, you know, do the surgeries or stuff like that. And then her followers, over the past year, they have, after she announces something or points out something, they have done bomb threats, shut down hospitals and schools and churches and stuff like that. There's really violent activities. So, and they're just a person online, right? This lady, and it looks like she's probably in her 30s, and she's just, I don't know, it's just a hate, she's just a hate person. And the superintendent of that school district where this child died hired her as a anti-LGBTQI liaison or just something really dumb. They have no education background. They don't live in the state, just nothing. And this is the school that this child got bullied and beaten up in the bathroom, and now they're dead.
Wow.
Yes. And so to your point, as a parent, if that's my child right now, this has happened, I'm finding that person, right? I'm
Yeah.
finding that lives a TikTok person or whomever it may be. And we're going to have a really, really close face-to-face talk. It's going to be really close. It's going to be about a 5-minute conversation. And some stern words will be traded.
Stern.
And I can guarantee you that after those 5 minutes, that person would no longer have an online presence. All those accounts would be closed.
You said online or on life presence.
Like you said, that's your child,
Your child, like, I
right?
just
Right.
don't, how do you process the fact that, and we know children are abducted daily. I don't know at the rate, but they are. They're either sex trafficked or I don't even want to talk. It's a little bit morbid, but to think as a parent, I feel that way if I was having my nephews. Like if I felt so much obligation and I was scared because if anything would happen on my watch, I don't know if I could truly live with myself, you know,
Right,
like
right.
because the unknown of being able to comfort the child, knowing if they're in pain, knowing if they're like maybe you start to create the narrative in your mind that maybe okay, they were taken, but then they were given to a really good family and they're loved. Like you try to create these
Yes,
narratives so that you don't go down
right.
to this negative rabbit hole.
You
So I didn't want to get
know,
depressed about it, but.
no, but you know what? You say something interesting because just the other day, I was just sitting around watching TV. So, like you said, I have a daughter. I have one child. My daughter is 19. And I did some stay-at-home dad stuff when she was, well, you remember I stayed home with her and stuff. And we have a very close relationship even to this day. And one day, like this past week, I was just sitting around blowing bubbles watching TV, right? And I thought about the fact that we need to talk about this because I'm getting married in a week and a half. I thought about, okay, being married. And she has been working with her mother and her grandparents looking at senior living communities for her grandparents, her mother's parents. And I thought about, okay, I'm going to have a wife, but what if I get 80 and then my daughter, she has this experience and maybe she wants to do something like that for me for whatever reason. And then just random thoughts, right? But then you know what I thought? You know what my thoughts left went to? I thought, I know my daughter so well, like, the food she likes, how she's going to respond to certain situations, and just her personality and things like that. And then I thought, well, what if when she's a grandmother, right, what if her kids or her grandkids don't know her as well as I do? Are they going to be able to take care of her when she's a grandmother? This is what, like, you're talking about how parents be thinking about their kids. I'm thinking about, will her grandkids be able to take care of her? Like, are they gonna know, about her tactile feet, how she likes really super soft things and how she likes her food and all this stuff? And it made me sad that I'm not gonna be around to tell them this is how you have to take care of my daughter, Lena. Like weird stuff like that, just out of nowhere, I'm thinking about that. So
Damn.
to your point about your nephews and they're getting older. And then we went to, to next Benedict and how, she lost her life. You're right. Like parents and stuff, like you'd be thinking about these things that just maybe it doesn't seem normal, but it is absolutely normal.
I mean, because there's and we didn't even add the layer of people of color. We didn't even add the dynamic of the having a child that goes to the grocery store wondering if they're going to come home. Like
Right.
that's
One
a
after
whole
another.
nother layer.
Right, just stuff like that. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing we have in our society right now where parents get labeled helicopter parents, but on the other hand, there's no one more concerned about you than your parents, right? Your parents, your guardians. And I don't just mean biological parents because you have adopted kids, you have guardians, you have people like yourself where your nephews will be in your care for a period of time. Right. And so that stuff matters. And so I don't accept that criticism that you can't watch over these kids. So that, you know what? We're all they have. And if you have experience, you know when they're little, you have to teach them to look both ways before crossing, the street. And when they get older, you teach them how to drive and obey the traffic signals. And then when they get older, you tell them, particularly girls, and you know this, if you go out together, you come back together, don't leave your girlfriends, at the club or, the bar or the restaurant alone. Like, you tell them all these things, and it doesn't matter if they're 16, 26, or 36, you still give them that advice because
I mean,
we're all we have.
I went to a club. This was after there was a fire. I think it was in New Jersey. One of the clubs, they couldn't get out, so people, died in the fire. And my mom said, this was, I don't know, months after the fact. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go out dancing. And she's like, make sure you know where the fire exits are.
See, just like
I
that.
was like, I do not want to worry about someone. I knew not having children, I did not want to have that type of worry in my life. I did
Know what,
not have.
sir? Okay, so, and I respect that. And I think that often women, like grown women like yourselves, get the short end of the stick because people are always talking about, oh, baby, baby, baby. But you know what? You reached adulthood where you can make your own damn decisions about what you want to do with your life. This guy, I saw this online. You made me think of it because you are a longtime pet owner, right? Dog parent or dog parent. They're not cats, but dogs. And this guy, out of the blue, nobody asked him. It was on Twitter. He tweeted, "People need to stop referring to their pets as fur babies, my four-legged child, and different." He lists like four or five things that people who have dogs or cats or just pets affectionately call their pets. You just affectionately say, "This is my baby. This is my fur baby." All these, I'm a fur baby parent, and these kind of things. He said they need to stop because it's stupid and it's disrespectful. And so he's rightly getting destroyed online.
The power of the internet.
And so I just thought, and one of the common things that people are responding and quote tweeting and stuff is, how does it bother you?
Like, why would you even post that?
Right? Like, how is this affecting your life that people affectionately refer to their pets for whatever reason, whether they have a bunch of pets or one pet, or whether they have a bunch of kids and a bunch of pets, or whether they have pets and no kids? It doesn't matter. Like, how does it affect you that they refer to their pet, like, if that comforts them? Like, why does that bother you?
Because he had nothing else of relevance. It'd be, use the platform to remind people, slower traffic, keep right. Like that's what
Right.
you should be using. If you want to be frustrated and aggravated, then it should be make things that make sense that do impact your life. Because if you're in the fast lane when you're not supposed to be going 55 miles an hour, you are now impacting my life. You haven't. So I
Right.
would tweet that. I would never say, stop calling your fur babies, your fur kids, your
Right.
parents, all that.
And you know what, sir? I bet you $1,000, or as our former coworker Mike used to say, I bet you dollars to donuts. That confused me for so long. I had to call him one day and say, "What does this mean?" I bet you dollars to donuts. I bet you that man named his dick. Do you know what I mean? And his car, like. But for some reason, he's mad. People affectionately refer to their pets as something.
Lordy, you ain't wrong. You are not wrong.
God. So I get married a week from Saturday.
I can't even believe it. I
A
can't
week
even
from
believe it.
Saturday. So, and it's a lot happening. So my fiance, Elian Marie Rodriguez is her name. So she's never been married. I've been married. She's never been married. And so she's had a lifetime to figure out what she wants her wedding to look like.
Okay, makes sense.
Right? She has very distinct ideas. And she's a grown woman, so she's been to a lot of weddings, the whole deal. And so a lot of the side things, what's on the tables, or let me go back, the engagement stuff, the invitation, the hold the date, the invitation, the layout of the room, what's on the tables, guest book, all this stuff. Like she had the flowers, she had very distinct ideas. And so she's been doing all those things in the past, 4 or 5 months. And then in this last couple of months, like really intensely. And she's been doing that stuff herself.
By
And
herself, everything.
yes. And so some of the things will be done, like the flowers and stuff, when we get there, and her aunts are helping with those things. But all this other little stuff. And so she's been doing it herself. So the other day, she has this giant piece of paper, like you would have on a giant tripod, those kind of
Yep.
paper, like for a presentation. So she had one of those on her dining room table, and she had drawn in pencil the layout of the wedding venue, including all the tables, the whole deal, like a architect, like an architectural drawing, like all this stuff, right? And then with the tables, she had, you know, you have those different color post-its that stick, those sticky post-its,
Yeah, they come in
but
different sizes.
yes, and then she just has the ones that are like long and thin,
Yep.
and you can just write a name on it. So she did the where people sit, right? It's
Teenager.
yes, and so she had them color coded by table.
Oh.
Yes, and it wrote all the names, and then she was, and you could just, instead of writing on the paper, you write them on those stickies so you could just move them around, right? And so then
Stop.
she asked me,
Oh no, stop right there. Say
that
less.
was the entirely appropriate response.
Uh-oh.
Right. She asked me to join her because she had written the names of all my people and she wanted me to put them at tables. And
Okay.
so I am at the time watching college basketball. But
So what rank did I get?
want to be supportive
Yes,
and do my part because I am the other part of this wedding party.
yes. Yes.
My God. So I come to the table, I look at what she has done, I listen to her explain for about 10 minutes what I need to do, but I actually didn't hear anything she said. But she told me, and so what I did was she get the little names were already on the little thing. She had done that for me. They were already stuck to the piece of paper. I just needed to put them where they go. And so I, would have taken her a couple of hours, took me about 45 seconds.
Like, wow, this is kind of a fun game.
She said, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, this is perfect. Everybody happy. So I took a picture of that. And then I sent it to my daughter Leah. I was like, hey, here's how the little CD goes. My daughter Leah responds back and says, why do you hate me? Why did you put me right there? that I'm thinking, I want off this bride. Like, I don't want to participate anymore. I gave my best shot. I'm done.
Off this ride.
I thought, overseeing, let people just sit where they want. Like, I'm okay with
Yeah.
anarchy, but she had to dial me back and say, no, there's a reason you have how people sit because you try to, like, she has her, I don't know, all these little theories and stuff. So I reworked it. So we got that done. Right, that part is done. So then, a couple of days later, at about 11:45 p.m.
Oh.
Yes, 11:45 p.m. I'm in bed. I'm not asleep. I'm probably scrolling TikTok, but I'm in bed. Right, I'm out, And she says, you know what? I have a different count of people on the seating chart than I do in this other spreadsheet or something. She goes, so I'm missing something. So I say, oh, just look at it tomorrow.
Oh my God. No. No.
Go, we got 12 days. It's fine. It's gonna happen between 11:45 and like 3:30 when you get home from work. Nothing's gonna happen. Like nothing. No one's
Nothing.
gonna be in the
Nothing
wrong
changes.
seat. Nothing. And she was like, I can't go to sleep with this discrepancy. So she walks away, you know, I have two stories. So she goes downstairs, she comes back with the piece of paper, right? The giant sheet of
Oh,
tripod paper and her
yeah.
laptop.
Okay.
And she says, okay, I need you to read me off the names
Oh,
one at a time.
Lordy.
I'm gonna double check on this piece of paper out. And I'm just thinking, you know, I would rather be in a volcano right now. Like
I would rather walk on glass that is saturated in lava and pull my eyeballs out with spoons. Yes.
lay me face down in lava right now. Just take me out. But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna suck it up. And we just went name by name. And there's just like two or three that she had just left out or something. I don't know. I don't know what their final resolution was, but she was satisfied at the end. Like she had
Okay.
gotten it
Cool.
worked out. But that's the level of stuff happening with this wedding right now.
And it's all, and it's funny because, as you know, I got married. I lived in California and got married and did everything in Wisconsin. So I understand the all of the things that need to be done that you can't actually touch. Like
That's a good
everything
point.
is done via communication with somebody. You're not in the venue, you're not taught, you can't just pull everybody together and say, let's do this. You legitimately have to do everything by yourself and hope that you have a strong foundation in where you're getting married that can help do some stuff. In your car, I drove from here to Wisconsin when I got married.
Did you really?
Yeah, with all the wedding stuff. And so couldn't really fly with it because I had made stuff here, my dress was here. I didn't want to, and plus my ex had two kids, so like adding four flights to that on top of everything else for the wedding, it just was a
I
lot.
did not know you were already living here before you got
Yeah.
married.
Yep. Already
Oh,
living
that's
here.
wild. That's a lot of work, huh? That's what you're
Yeah,
saying. That's a
that's
lot
a
of
lot of
work,
work.
huh?
So I can understand it, to be related to that for Ileanne to have some lack of control because you can't have your pulse point on everything. And it can be a little daunting. So I'm sure to you, right, being in a volcano would be way easier. This is just something, it's fun, but it's also stressful.
Yes, that's a great way to put that because she is also enjoying it,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
She has long wanted, I shouldn't say long wanted, but she has long anticipated doing all these things for
Yep.
herself as opposed to relatives and girlfriends and stuff like that. So she's like jubilant over having to do all this stuff.
I love that. Yeah. So yeah, it can be, it sounds daunting, but when you're doing it because it's part of something that you have longed for and envisioned yourself doing, it does make it really fun. And
It
then
does.
all of a sudden you get to that day, as a married person before, that all of a sudden, like all that work up, it's like a vacation. You plan all this stuff on a vacation and then you go to vacation and then it's over. You're like, God damn it.
Yes, that's a great point. And you know what? So she was telling me, I don't know, today or yesterday or something about the, or it was yesterday. She was finalizing the, I guess it's the itinerary or the program. I don't know what it is, like the order of events, right? For that entire day. And, you know, wake up. Like it's that level of
Oh,
detail.
wow.
Yes. And, you know, so her hair and makeup and the hair and makeup of her bridesmaids and groomswoman, you.
Yep.
And that I think that starts at like 1 o'clock. Then the wedding is at 5. So that starts at 1 o'clock, but there are, I want to say, five or six women getting makeup and maybe three or four or five getting hair. And so, I guess, that takes time. And then there's pictures because we're the venue is right across the street from Central Park in New York. And it's literally right across the street. And so you go across the street because there's a garden there and then she wants pictures there. Right. So we'll do that. And then there at the venue there is a place for the bride and groom's people. There's rooms, like you have your space and everything. And so she was just getting the timing down for all that. And then working with the venue caterer for, the I don't know, the signature drink, before everything starts and then the meals. And we have, all these different options for meals that are available, including vegan and veg and veg what's that word? Vegetarian, all this stuff. And then, the music for each of the different components and all this stuff. And she got it all worked out and she sent over this thing to the venue people and they were like, they thought they were gonna do it. And they were like, oh, so you're the wedding planner. She was like, well, I'm the bride. They're like, what? You're the bride. And she's doing all this stuff, and she's stoked. So now I'm pretty excited about it. It took me a while, but I'm pretty excited about it because, like you said, the buildup is one thing. And because I don't usually do planning and everything, I like the day of, like that event. And what's great about that day of, so you guys are all be getting your hair and makeup done. And I will be by myself. Yes. And that's also that week we'll be deep inside of March Madness. So I'll be in my room watching college basketball.
Oh my God. Are you guys writing your own vows?
I wrote mine yesterday.
You did.
I did, yes. So we are writing on vows. And I did a little survey on Twitter and asked my followers, like, how long should vows be? Right? How long? How much time should we be talking? A minute, 5 minutes, 30 minutes? Like, what's the deal? And I got hundreds of responses and a lot of funny stories. And basically, it came down to just keep it short and sweet because nobody wants to hear all that shit. You know what I
No.
mean? Right? Just get to the point, say something nice, and just be short and sweet. And so it came down to because I'm writing this novel right now. So I think in terms of word count as opposed to minutes, like how many words? And it came down to no more than like 200 words. And so,
Oh, wow. Okay.
yeah. And so I think I wrote mine and I've been thinking about it for a while, but I just hadn't sat down to do it. But once I figured out a word count, then I thought, okay, now I know how to pack this with what I need to say. And it's probably 150, 160 words and just, and that's it. And so I'm going to, she has expressly forbidden me from reading my vows off my phone.
Okay, you have to do it
Right.
on a piece of paper.
Yeah. And I thought, okay, well, that's okay. Because I don't want to be, I don't want to reach into my coat pocket, pull out my phone. It's sort of awkward to me. And it just seems more, I don't know, to me, it just seems more traditional, maybe a little more classy to just, yeah, like you said, I have a piece of paper, just something. Small, you just read it off that. I could memorize it, but I'm not good at memory kind of stuff like that because I'll just start talking about other stuff.
You can't even
So,
remember my nephew's birthday ages when I talk about it every week, let alone memorize your vows. Are you out of your fucking mind? Now I can hold them for you because I am your best woman, so
yes, and that's
whatever.
what I was going to suggest. I'm going to
Okay.
have the card, and before we go before we start the ceremony, I'll just hand it to you. Now,
Perfect.
the issue is it's going to be small, but then the issue is where do you have that? Because you will have, I'm guessing, some flowers or bouquet or something, and like,
Yeah.
how does that work?
I have secrets. I have secret places.
move on.
Have secret spaces that I cannot tell you about. Plus, you know, what's really great is that you can keep that piece of paper and frame them.
That's exactly it. So I asked via voice memo, the name of our show, Voice Memos. I asked via voice memos today to our friend Katya to put that on a card for me so that it could be a keepsake. Nice. Right? Just what you just said. And of course, our friend Katya hasn't responded to me. It's been 5 hours.
Oh my God.
Right? I mean, and I don't even know why, because the last thing I said in my voice memo was, you have nothing else to do, so you should do this right now.
If only they knew. Oh my God.
Just for our audience, our friend Katya has probably 5 jobs. Like she has 5 jobs, 2 kids. She runs her partner's business or apps and stuff, and her parents' apps. She is so busy, but I'm her friend.
Always come first. So you guys are you done? So we might not be recording next week.
Yes, that is a great point. So we fly Wednesday night.
Okay.
So we're taking a red eye. So we fly Wednesday night. So we could record next Wednesday.
Okay. Good.
That'd be our last one. Now, when do you fly?
I fly Thursday on the red eye. So I get in on Friday morning.
Ah, very good. Okay.
Yep. Okay. And then I'll be there till Sunday. I think we come back. I don't know if you guys are leaving Sunday night or if you're leaving Monday. What day are you leaving?
I think we leave Tuesday, actually.
Tuesday. Oh, so you're there for a couple more days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we go to dinner Friday, and I have decided, at first I was like, I like everybody to go to dinner, but I'm not going to pay. But now I start thinking, you know, deep into the night about my family and friends who are traveling to New York. Like, that's just expensive, right? So between the air and the hotel, and then for people like yourself who are also working, that could be time off. And that's money too. Yeah. So I thought, you know, even though this wedding is at a beautiful location and we have an open bar, 7 different appetizers, 3 food stations, desserts, you know, people are spending a lot of money to come out here. So that dinner, when we go out Friday, I'm going to buy that dinner as well.
That's really nice.
I think that's the right thing to do. And
how many people are coming to that dinner?
I made a reservation for 15.
Okay.
So I think it'll be 13 to 17, actually.
Okay.
And so, so I'll do that. And then, we leave Wednesday. We'll be there Thursday. I have to go get my, I got a call yesterday that my tuxedo has arrived at the store where it's supposed to be. So we're going to pick that up Thursday. She does more, I don't know, you know, arts and crafts stuff on Thursday. And then I'll have Leah and her friend with us. So we're going to try to do some, they've never been to New York. So we're going to try to do some sightseeing stuff with them, you know.
Oh, fun.
It's really going to be like a mini vacation for us. So yeah, I'm getting pretty excited about it.
That's awesome. Are you going to try to catch up on, we know tonight is the reunion.
Yes. Yes. Love is Blind reunion. And it starts in 30 minutes. I am here for the mess.
Everybody's mess. So, you know, I don't know what it is. I love, you know, I'm watching, as you know, Capote and the Swans, which is really good. The acting is really spectacular. I think probably some people will think that it moved too slow, but I'm enjoying it. I think there's one more episode. I watched Expats with Nicole Kidman. Really, really good. It does drag on a little bit, but the dynamic of the storylines in it are really, really telling. There is something about reality TV that I cannot, not all reality TV. So I don't watch everything that's reality. Like, I don't watch Love Island or The Bachelor or Thruple Couple thing that's now out on like Hulu. I don't watch that kind of stuff. I like my good old Vanderpump Rules, most of the Housewives, The Traitor, that type of TV. But
yes.
I didn't want to watch Love is Blind. I had no desire. I was like, 6 episodes, 6 seasons. You tell me, watch just this season. And I'm living for the reunion. I just
Right?
wish that Andy Cohen would be the host.
I know, right? Because look, Love is Blind is they are that production company, it's on Netflix. And that production company, they're leaning into the mess. And I think they figured out, you know what? The messier we are, the better our ratings are. Because this thing is a mess. And I heard they're already filming the next season. So there's already a season 7.
What?
Yeah, there are, and I think it's being filmed in I want to say Minneapolis. Someone on TikTok talked about it. It's being filmed in
So
Minneapolis.
different cities every episode?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Each season is a different city. That's exactly what it is. And they're under those contracts. And the premise of the show for our audience who may be listening for the first time is Netflix gets, I don't know, like 25 single men and 25 single women. They're separate, and they get to like speed date in these what they call pods. They cannot see each other. Like, they cannot see each other. They can only hear each other. And over the course of a week, the men and women start to hone in on the other voice, you know, from the other from in the pod, the other person, as like they're trying to date them. And they don't know what they look like. And but they could talk about anything, but they just generally don't talk about their looks or anything. And at some point, because it's very heteronormal, the man has to, if you make a connection, the man will propose to the woman, sight unseen. And then if she says yes, then they get to see each other, and they show that. They show them seeing each other for the first time and kissing. And then after that, they usually have five or six couples who do a proposal. Then they get together in their city, and usually in an apartment. It's not normally one of the couples' apartments, but it could be. And they live together for a week or so. And you get to see how they're getting along and all this kind of stuff. And they have little mixers where all the couples get together, and maybe some other man or woman who was in the pods with them that they may have liked. They have them show up just to create some, you know, sticky situations. And then they get to meet each other. Like, it's like the Bachelor, Bachelorette. They get to meet each other's families. The bride and groom pick out dress and suit. And if they last all this time, they actually have a little wedding ceremony. And at the ceremony, the officiant, you know, says the little words and then say, you know, do you want to go through with this? And the bride or the groom, either one can say no at up to that last minute. And in the 6 seasons, I want to say there's probably been two or three weddings, like yes, by both parties each season. Well, maybe not two or three, maybe like one or two each season. And this season, just spoiler, you know, there weren't that many. Like, let's just say that there weren't that many. And really, the show doesn't care. The show just cares for the lying, the cheating, the accusations, and then finally, like Jen brought up, the reunion show where they can all just hash out and just scream and yell at each other. It's fantastic.
So that's on tonight. So
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. It's interesting about, I think it was maybe it was a clinical psychologist, I'm not sure, but she was talking about how both Chelsea and AD have this value, lack of value, meaning they don't value themselves. They get validation or need validation from others in
Oh, that's
order
good.
to feel a little confident, and that their low self-esteem has them pick men that don't really pick them because they need somebody to give them validation. And it was a really good synopsis. And then she says, you know, you have to feel good about you. Your worth has to come from you first. And then she talked about both, I think it's Johnny and I forget what the other woman's name is that they got married, but she said the reason why people online would fast forward through that couple was because they thought that they were boring.
That's
And the
interesting.
reason why they were boring is because they actually worked, meaning they both had self-worth. They both didn't need the other person to validate who they are. And they communicated clearly without emotion and were able to talk through even the most serious situations by hearing each other out. So sometimes the end result of that conversation was like, sometimes the most connected, valued relationships are the most boring
Isn't
because
that something?
they don't need the drama to go along with it.
You know what, sir? It's funny you said that because I saw an analysis like that. I don't know if it was the same analyst or therapist, but this lady, I think it was like, anyway, she showed the number of minutes each of the couples who had a proposal, an accepted proposal, the number of screen time minutes they got. And it's your exact point that the couple that, it's the Puerto Rican girl and the redhead guy, huh?
Yeah.
That the couple that got married got the least amount of screen time.
See?
Their minutes were the lowest, and they're the most normal. They get along. There's no big fights. And they had some really good, open, honest discussions about, you know, family, marriage, birth control, kids, and all this kind of stuff. Like, really good stuff that a couple should talk about before they get married, right? Like, really good stuff. And the lady who had the pouty face and that guy, that was Chelsea. The pouty face lady and that other guy, the dumb name, Jeremy. With the A and an EY, weird name. Yeah, and how they got the most time. Like, they just got the most time because it's like your person was saying, it's just messy and ugly, and that's just what they leaned into.
It's because I think about, you know, I think I've said this before when we talked about me dating, and the fact that really, in general, who you're competing with, in all honesty, is myself. Like, I can entertain myself, I can support myself. I think about my future. I can cook my own meals. I can clean my own house. I can fix things if I have to. I am comfortable in who I am as a person. I don't need anybody to sort of make me better or validate me. So who you're competing with is myself and my peace.
That's so
And
good.
I don't think people realize this phrase, like, communication is lubrication, meaning that having good, consistent, strong dialogue that's not always serious. There's a lot of fun associated with it, but having those tough conversations and getting to know somebody like that couple did was more enjoyable to watch for me because that's what healthy looked like.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think I've heard you say that before, that you're in competition, or that person who you may be dating or interested in dating you, he's in competition with you. Like, you can entertain yourself and be comfortable with yourself. And I'm telling you, that's powerful. And that's true. Like that totally makes sense to me. Cause I can be by myself. And after my divorce, I was just single for 9 years or so and perfectly content. Like, just
like, if you didn't find somebody, you're great. If now you found somebody, which is great. So there's that both, like, one wasn't, you weren't trying to achieve one thing. You were content in either avenue. So I think that's important for people to understand that there is, for me, if I don't even look, if that flag turns a faint orange, I'm gone. Like, there is not, it's not a red flag anymore. It's like, either it's an orange flag, because if it's orange, it's going to get to red. So I'm gonna respectfully decline your invite. Like, if
you know
commit
what? That's
to say
so great.
It's so good, right?
It's like in our 20s, those orange flags are like, well, it's going to turn green. They'll be fine.
Yep.
Right. You get to your 40s and 50s, it's like that orange, I'm seeing red.
Listen, a stoplight, the orange never goes back to green. The orange always goes to red.
It doesn't go the other way.
It doesn't go the other way. So if you have a faint, if it is just a faint color, just be warned that that faint color will turn to red. Like, there's no way around it. So yeah, it's the minute I see that, I'm tapped, I'm out.
So, sir, I just thought about, we're running short on time, but we were talking earlier, or voice memoing earlier this week, about tipping the wait staff and the people at the wedding. Yes. And it's something I haven't really thought about very hard, but I've been looking at it more and more, and it really is a thing that we should be prepared to tip these people. And I'm glad I know now, because I don't want to be the one that stiff these people.
Tipping, so the tipping dynamic. My friend just sent me something too about like the audacity that we have to pay someone's wages. Like I'm talking about the person at the counter, you place your order and they turn over the iPad
Yes,
for you to add a tip. Like
yes.
tipping culture is out of control. Like
Like, they don't even say hi to you sometimes. Like,
they
they
don't
won't
even
even say
say hi
hi,
to
like,
you.
nothing.
Nothing. I'm not tipping you. So I think being from the service industry, as we talked my bronze medal winnings when I was bussing tables in one of my episodes. So being in the service industry, I understand tipping because you're waiting on somebody. So in the event of your wedding, are you going to tip each individual segment of those servers, or do you give it to the owner and say, do as you wish?
No, right? So that part I'm not certain of yet. And so I brought it up to the venue catering person, who is our contact, because the venue we just rent it,
Oh,
and
good. Okay.
so they're taken care of. But now the catering person, and she is in charge of the whole staff, moving the tables, and she will be on site that day for the whole day for us. And the staff is her staff. So I'm going to ask her before that day, like, what's the deal? Like, how I'm going to tip, because now I have an understanding, but how do you want that money? Do you want it cash for yourself, or is it like Venmo or PayPal, or check? Like, how? And then if it's to you or your company, are you just going to disperse? Like, how does that happen? Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's New York City, and I imagine most cities, like these places, like a company like that, they're not skimming the tips from people. But you know what? I still want to know.
Well, why don't you do another survey or like ask your Twitter
That's
followers?
not a bad idea. I think I'm gonna do that. Like,
Because
what
you
is the
probably have some
standard?
caterers in that group of people that follow you or know somebody that does.
That's a great point. You know what? I'm gonna do that. I'll tell you what they say. That's a
Okay.
great question, because I am gonna tell. But I just want to know, like, what the deal is.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one that they like post all over social media. This
Right,
person, you know, we did it
right.
for the sake of this conversation, $100,000 wedding, and the guy didn't tip me. You don't want to
Yes,
be that guy.
exactly. So I imagine it's something like on a cruise. You're on a cruise, at the end, they give you a little sheet. Like, the person that cleans your room should get
Yes.
this. The person that does this to your room should get this. The hallway manager should get this. Your waiters, they give you all these guidelines for everybody that should get a tip, which I actually don't mind, because these people are helping you the whole time. So I imagine it's something like that. So that's what I want to know.
You know, when you go on vacation, though, sometimes they'll say tip is included.
I
And then you
know.
feel like a shit because then they also leave an envelope in your room to
I
tip
know. What
you.
is the deal with that?
I don't
Right, and then you feel like a total loser for
someone tell
throwing
me.
that envelope in the trash.
Right. Hey, oh, this is all inclusive, tips included. So you're like,
Right?
wow, that's cool. And then there's an envelope for housekeeping. And then when you go to the bar to the pool, they're expecting a tip. So I'm like, is tip, what is tip included with? Like, what does that mean?
I don't know what that means. I went through this thing, this is like 5 or 6 years ago, when I would go to restaurants because I was just alone. And if it was the right moment and the servers were kind or something, I would ask, and this is when I was driving Lyft and Uber. I would ask, are you in the front of the house or the back of the house? Because you'd be taking them to work and the restaurants and stuff. And they'd be, I'm a server, I'm this. And I was, how do your tips work at your restaurant? And I'm telling you, every single person I asked that had a complaint. Every single one. And so whether it was shared, we all split the tips, or I'm the host, I get them all and I cash out everybody, or I wash dishes and I get this. Everybody was mad at the establishment for either taking some of the tips or not dispersing them to everybody, like however the tip positions thought they should be dispersed. But anyway, everybody had a complaint.
Wow. Okay, that's good to know. You
Yeah.
know what? I got it. It was dispersed. Like this section is for your bussers, this section, this money is for
Yes.
the bartenders, and then you just split it. Oh God, that's so crazy to think about that. Good stuff though. I
Yeah.
know we're running over.
Yeah,
We
we gotta
will
go.
Yeah, we will meet next week. We'll talk about Love Is Blind reunion. Any more wedding stuff that's coming up? Ileana and I, she came out to celebrate one of our girlfriend's birthdays
Nice.
on Saturday, so we got to hear more about the wedding and some stuff going on there. So it was nice to get
Nice.
her out and about. So yeah, let's.
And the only other show I'll recommend this week is Shogun on Hulu. It's very good.
Really?
Yeah, it's a series, and I'm on episode 4, and it's
What's that
so well done.
about?
It's set like in the 1600s in Japan, and it's just these shogun. They're like governors, but they're like warrior governors, and they all have their own little kingdoms, and they just don't like each other. And it's at the same time that the English and the Portuguese are coming in, to colonize different places and stuff. And it's all new to these people in Japan, to these shogun warrior groups, and they're fighting with each other, but they also may start fighting with the Portuguese and English. So it's just a lot of competing factions and forces. So sort of like that Game of Thrones kind of deal where everybody's sort of at
Oh.
everybody's throats, and it's really well done and really good.
Shogun.
Yep, Shogun. Yep.
Okay.
Hour, hour 50, 55 minute episodes.
Okay, I'll give it an episode.
Yep. So we'll definitely do our
Next week.
next week. We'll do this
Okay.
next week.
Yes. All right. Peace out, motherfucker. Bye.
Peace out. Rate us, review us, and share us, and send us some questions. We'd love to hear from you.
And tip us.
Love this podcast? Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Visit the episode description to find out how you can connect with the hosts on social media. Voice Memos is a production of Dear Dean Publishing. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this podcast shall be reproduced commercially without consent.